Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, chavarim, shalom. Here. Just getting on the podcast right here, doing some background work, getting some of the audibles ready for tonight's podcast. The Rastafari podcast, Testify Tuesday, here the Tuesday podcast on the ear and in the irid right here. Yes. Ah, the harvest is ready. We pray for more co-laborers to be sent into the vineyard, into the vineyard, right here. Yes, all right. So here, let's pick up, begin off right here with the Tuesday podcast. On the previous Testify Tuesday, we had got blocked because of certain tunes and the different algorithms, and sometimes it's not always consistent. It's very inconsistent, as any podcaster or broadcaster on the YouTube platform will know. Sometimes they might even just flag you in your own stuff. You know, it's very, very interesting. And then to go through all the background, the disputing and this and that, the next thing, so forth and so on. But yet, we know we're on their platform. We still give thanks, as it says, you know, to pray, you know, pray for these ones, even in ones and ones in the world, you know, like the rulers and all the ones. We say, well, I pray for them. Well, it's like what the good news, the gospel says, the Brit Chadasha says, so that we may have a quiet and a peaceable life. Why would we pray for the president and the rulers of these Gentile nations? Well, in the Gospels and the Epistles, and also from the Torah, from we the black Jews, the line of the tribe of Judah, from the Judaic foundation, it's also that we can have a quiet and a peaceable life and a liberty, that they do the right things, and the things that they do, may they be right for I and I. As we say, you know, Gam, also, Zu, this, La, Tova, La Tova, this too is for I and I good. All things work together for the good of those who love Haile Him and those who are the called according to His purpose. So here on the ear and in the
I'm going to testify.
And here, the evening psalm, the appointed psalm here for the third day, Yom Ha Shiloshi, yeah, for the third day, yes, I, right here, we have Psalm 82, the evening psalm right here, as we seek to reestablish HaTorah, Jalor, among I and I and we, and also the regulatory agency, so we can have justice and peace. So firstly, foremostly here, the evening psalm, yes, I, for the judges, right, that we may do better. Right, in this generation, when we be the generation of them that seek His face, yes, I, even the face of the power, the true good, the true God of Yaakov. Here.
Psalm 82.
Mizmor Pevet, Mizmor Le'asavor, 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 Le'asavor.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el.
He judgeth among the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods.
Bekerev
Elohim
yishpot.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth. For thou shalt inherit all nations, 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 inherit all nations.
Keep on traveling on.
Give up the fight.
Yeah. Keep on traveling
on. Give up the fight.
For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name, shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts.
Here, Tuesday podcast. Hayom HaShalishi, HaShalishi, here the third day right here, more justice, the theme of the evening psalm as chanted in the Holy Temple, Jerusalem, pre-70 AD, we have the evening psalm, Psalm 82, and here's a Rhema tune, Damien Marley, more justice, the theme, Habarim.
Mankind all my cats that bad. Justice are where the youth them need overall. Where them deal with mankind. Hey yo, and that's in a go cry for no guy in a no three-piece suit. Nor no pretty boy in a no crisp Nike boot. She no pass for no tapper. She no cry for no doof. She said those lonely tears for the little ghetto youth. They're falling starry, starry. Ex-news and cleaner. Food might be dirty, but his heart is much cleaner than those politicians fighting dumb sense demeanor. And get up every day, them want to run this arena. Extra, extra, read all about it. Get a youth in need and there is no doubt about it. If baby won't beat and can't do without it, big 45 going to scout it. Oh no, the youth them balling out. I hear they get a youth them balling out. Hey, youth them calling out. I hear they get a youth them balling out. Well, justice are where the youth them need overall. The way them deal with mankind, all my gals start bad. Justice are where the youth them need overall. The way them deal with mankind. Listen, no I'm on this head, Jack and Jill went up the hill to sell some marijuana. Fuck up the bed, they broke Jack on and Jill came tumbling after. Think about 50 stars, I see too deep in a departure. And if one tried that again, it's going to bring disaster. Kings and kings are the lords of lords, everlasting, never last. I inspire, die at night to be a microphone blaster. May not go bow down to no slave master. Had the youth and first, I knock the question down. Mankind and woman that pass. Justice are where the youth them need overall. The way them deal with mankind. Then she not gonna cry for no guy in a no three-piece suit. Nah, no pretty boy in a no crisp Nike boot. She not pass for no dapper. She not cry for no doof. She shed those lonely tears for the little ghetto youth. They're falling starry, starry. Ex-news and cleaner. Food might be dirty, but his heart is much cleaner than those politicians fighting dumb sense of media. And get up every day, them off to run this arena. Now extra, extra, read all about it. Get a youth in need and there is no doubt about it. If baby won't feed and can't do without it, the big 45 going to scout it. Oh no.
Continuity purposes, we have the ICAB, the 46th sabbatical previous, here we're in the 47th for Shavat Re'eh, Sabbath C, seen, sight. We have the Baraka, Uk Alala. We have the blessing and the curses We have the increase, and we have the making less and little and trivial, the curses, the consequences, the judgment of right here. Yes, 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 yes. So here, the judgment. There's a judgment dub right there. Just for I-9 to get situated here for tonight's podcast for the continuity from the 46, right? Some of the extra questions and reasonings that will help us better to understand, overstand, right? Here, the 47th sabbatical, we ended off with question 44.
Everybody to around the wicked, I go crumble. Be Bible, shout up two songs and the wicked them chimble. Live by the Bible, shout up two songs and the wicked them chimble. Live by the two around the wicked, I go crumble. I'm going to testify.
So here, we have the 44 for ICAS. So here we're going from the 46, some of the extra questions. There was a total of, we have here about 65. We got to the 44th and a few of the first questions here for this 47th sabbatical study here for this Shabbat Strong, for Shabbat Re'eh, for Senbet Enecho, Sabbath See, Sabbath Behold. So here, the 46, question 44, going over this question again. The 44th question was, what is the Hebrew expression for the pseudonymous, pseudo, falsely or incorrectly, falsely, nomos, falsely named, Ten Commandments? What's the Hebrew expression according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 4? Well, it's the ten things. The ten things, ten things, ten things, 10 words, or the 10 utterances. In the Hebrew, the Aseret HaDevarim, the Aseret, more ancient point, Aseret, the Aseret, Aseret, 10, Ha, the Devarim, modern Hebrew, Devarim, Aseret HaDevarim, the 10, Aseret HaDevarim, the 10, the words. So it's the 10 words. Now, devarim can mean words, like things, like a matter, like what's the matter, what's the thing, what's the word, or the 10 utterances. So the Hebrew expression, the biblical Hebrew expression is Aseret HaDevarim, the 10 words. So the true expression for what is called the 10 commandments be the 10 words, the 10 things, the 10 words, the 10 utterances. Question 45, what does the phrase, quote, at that time, end quote, refer to, especially in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8? For the phrase, at that time, what does it refer to, Habarim? What does it refer to, at that time? It's not when Aharon died. So we read this section in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 6 to 7, right, speaking about the time when Aaron died. But then we get to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. It's not speaking of the time at that time when Aaron died, but after the Egel Masecha. The Egel Masecha. Masecha, the Egel, the calf, Masecha, the molten calf. The molten calf, falsely called the golden calf incident. So take some notes. Ten Commandments is what they say in the translation in English, not found in the Hebrew. Golden calf is what they say in the English and the Western Gentile counterfeit Christianity. It's not what is found in the Hebrew. What's found in the Hebrew is molten calf, right, for what is falsely called, pseudonymously called, the golden calf. And what is pseudonymously falsely called in the translation, the Ten Commandments, is the ten utterances, the ten words, or to say the ten things. Question 46. Why did Elohim choose the tribe of Levi, of the Levites, the Lewim, to serve him? Why did Elohim choose the tribe of Levi, HaLewim, to serve him, to serve HaElohim? According to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8, it's because they had remained loyal. So the reason why Jah chose the tribe of Levi to serve him exclusively, right, according to Brit HaYishana, is because they had remained loyal to Jah. They had remained loyal to HaElohim, HaElohim, to Yahuwah Eloheinu, and to Moshe, and to Moses, according to Shemot, called Exodus, Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. Now note that the term Lewim, the Hebrew Lewim, in the Royal Amharic, the Book of the Seven Seals, Lewawiyan, Lewim, Lewawiyan, in the English is brought out as Levites. The Levites, and the term Levites here, is a general term that includes the four subclans, the sub-mispachot, mispachot, mispachas, subclans, subfamilies of the tribe. So when Lewim or Levite is used in this context, it's including the four subgroups or subclans or subfamilies of that tribe. So Jah had chose the tribe of Levi, right, because they had remained loyal through all the ups and downs, mix-up follies, undercrowns. They remained loyal. Moshe Levi, a.k.a. Shine Pope. Like to share a little something right here. He speaks about the Levites, something called the Levites in hard times.
The confirmation of my relationship with Hashem. Because when you go through difficulties, you can be like some of the Rev Rav in the Russia, where they want to turn against Moshe, and they want to say, oh man, Hashem brought us here to die, and they give up. Or you can be like the Levites, who kill their mothers, their father, sister, anybody who wasn't rolling with, you know, what Am Yisrael was supposed to be rolling with.
So there Shine Paul brings out that, you know, that the Levites had a different, you could say a different spirit, similar to Caleb. He had a different spirit than in Joshua, right? But namely, Caleb is mentioned having a different spirit than those other ain't right Israelites, the ones who had the 10 who outnumbered the two, right? Like with the Shashamani land grant, what happened in 1972, right? 1970. Yeah, so they remained loyal. Right, they remained loyal. They wasn't like the Rev Rav, the mixed multitude, and the Rasha, and the wicked or defiant ones that started to complain, oh, why Moses brought us out here into the wilderness to die, rah, 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 you know, started to mix up and act the fool, right? And then when they were called on, right, they drew the sword, right, and they executed the guilty. Now, Moshe Levi, a.k.a. Shine Poe, he said, you know, execute their mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, everyone. Well, actually, it was mainly the Mandan, right, that were executed, you know, the sons of Israel that had broken their word and therefore had broken their covenant. And what do we say? Word is born and word is life. So they broke their word and therefore, especially the Yahweh, hey, they had forfeited their life. Once again, a full of the Shine Moshe Levi.
The confirmation of my relationship with Hashem. Because when you go through difficulty.
Boom. Pause right here. He says a key word here. You know, he said our consummation, the consummation of our relationship. Some people talk about religion. We're talking about relation and revelation. The relationship, the consummation of our relationship with Hashem. You know, when you go through difficulties,
the consummation of my relationship with Hashem. Because when you go through difficulties, you can be like some of the Rev Rav in the Russia, where they want to turn against Moshe, and they want to say, oh man, Hashem brought us here to die, and they give up. Or you can be like the Levites, who kill their mothers, their father, sister, anybody who wasn't rolling with, you know, what Am Yisrael was supposed to be rolling with.
I am your creator, your king, the Holy One of Israel. Bring my son from far.
Because they wasn't rolling with, right, what Yisrael, what the people of Yisrael, what Jah people was to be rolling with, they had put to death the guilty, right? So is the Bible a pacifist, Torah a pacifist book, right? You know, peace, you know, shalom, peace to those who are peace worthy. Otherwise, it's otherwise. So here, this right up
front.
So Levi was chosen because of their loyalty, the loyalty to Hashem, to Jah, Jehovah, and to his servant, to Moshe, and speaking about the whole tribe, right, all clans in one order, all clans, mispachot in one order. Here, question 47. What did Moshe do the second time he went up, he aliyahed up? the mountain. What did he do the second time that he ascended? He allied up. He went up Hahar, the mountain, according to Deuteronomy 10:10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 10. Question 47. Moshe, he interceded for Amo Yisrael, for the people of Yisrael, Yasher Allah, until Hailahim Eloheinu, until Jah decided not to destroy them. Moshe then descended on Yom HaKippurim, right? So we look at the time, the 40 days from that time, looking at the Torah and studying the time. This will correspond to Moshe's descent from Hahar, the mountain, on Yom HaKippurim, on the Day of Atonement, which is interesting because that would be the seventh moon, the seventh month, right, and the 10th, right, the 10th day of the seventh month with the new tablets, right, with the new tablets, and his face, Panav, Panayo, right, the ancient pointing, Panayo, modern pointing, Panav, Panav, his face shone from the Kavod of Hailahim, of the Elohim, right, his face has shined and shone from the glory, the Kavod of Elohim's forgiveness, of Hailahim's forgiveness, and from Hailahim's love. Question 48. After Moshe descended with the new tablets, the new table, the tablets, what did Hael, the Almighty, say, according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 11? Question 48. He said, Kum lech, kum lech, kum lech. Arise, go, kum, kum, arise, rise up, get up, rise, kum, lek, 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 go, arise, go. Not arise and go, arise, rise up and go. And trod, almost like rise up and walk and go. Kum, lek, on your journey at the head. At the head of Ha'am, at the head of Jah people, so that Yisrael, Yasher Allah, would, so that they would inherit the land. So Moshe, after Moshe descended with the new tablets, what did Yahuwah, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name. What did Hashem say? He said, Kum, Lek, arise, go on your trod. Go on Yad and go on Trod and at the head of Ha'am, at the head of Jah people, so that Yisrael, Yasher Allah, so that Israel would inherit the land. Now note that there is no mention of Moses' protests. Right? There's no mention of Moses' protests. Moses' protests, his protests, right, in Exodus is that Hailahim, Ha'el's angel, the Malak Panav, Malaki Panav, Malak Panayo, the angel of the presence, the angel of the face, that extraordinary angel would lead Ha'am, would lead Jah people, according to Exodus chapter 32, verses 34, and in some of the Chumash, there's some interesting footnotes, because in the earlier narrative, because here's after like the 40 years, here Moshe is speaking to a whole new generation. So I'm just saying, well, this, what he says here doesn't agree with what was said before, but you have to read, you have to study, you have to put it into context. You can't just go to one verse here and one verse there. That may fool a fool who hasn't spent time studying, but we in the study, we recognize that, yes, here in Moses speaking to a new generation, he's making no mention of the protests that Yahuwah, Jehovah's angel, right, his angel, the Malak Panayo, the angel of his presence, the angel of the face. And here in Ionite theology, we see this as the pre-incarnate, that word, right, Yeshua, the pre-incarnate, the angel in the bush, right, the one who Yaakov, Abinu, the patriarch, speaks about how that angel had redeemed him. Now, which angel is speaking of? We're speaking of the one, basically, that for most part never gives his name. So we're not talking about Raphael, as some people believe, right? We're not talking about Uriel or Gabriel, right? Or even the one that some of the later-day Jews, they say Metatron. Even though the Metatron connection, right, amongst the latter-day Jews, it does point to the same angel, right? That angel of the presence, the angel of the face, right? That pre-incarnate, the pre-incarnate Emmanuel, the pre-incarnate, that angel of the presence, the angel of the face. So Moses doesn't speak on that particular angel. Now, where do we find the angel as well? We find him in the book of Jubilees, Metzafe Kufale Iobeliu. We find him there as well. In fact, what's interesting is that the data that we get in the Ethiopic book of Jubilees, right, it helps us to get the full. Now, remember, these were ancient scrolls and documents. We know they was known to the Israelites, right, of Ethiopia, right, as those books were first found before they found what they call the Dead Sea Scrolls and found some fragments and other parchments that corroborated the Israelites of Ethiopia testimony with the books of Hanok, the books of Enoch, and the books of Kufale, the books of division, or the book of Jubilees called Little Genesis. But that angel is found there, and that's the angel that the father, Elohim Ha'ab, commands the angel of the presence, the angel of the face, the angel that spoke to Moshe out of the bush, the angel that said to him that I was known by my name El Shaddai, but by my name Yahweh, hey Yahuwah, I was not known to them. And Moshe turned away, because here that divinity of the Ab and the Bane, the Ab, the father, and the Bane, the Abane, that stone, the father and the son, is being revealed. So here, question 49. Now, in light of Yisrael Yasharala's history, what does Ha Elohim require of them? So in light of their narrative, in light of Einai, the Hebrew narrative here in Ha Torah and in the Hebrew scriptures, in light of Yisrael's history, what does Jah require of them according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 13? Chaburim, to fear mo better, that's the English translation, to yare, to have that yirat, right? Yirat, that reverence, that respect, to reverence Yahweh, to reverence Yahuwah, to reverence Jehovah, to walk, right, in his ways, to trod in his trod, to walk in his ways, to yad in his yad, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and to keep the commandments. So what does Yahweh, in light of Yisrael Yasharala's history, what does he require of them and I and we? Well, firstly, foremostly, to reverence, to respect Yahweh, to respect Jehovah, one. To walk, to trod in his ways, two. To love him, three. To serve him with all your heart, four. And to keep the commandments, to keep his mitzvotayo, to keep his imperatives. It's like what we have right here. Divine Majesty Kedemah Rehala Selassie says that Yeshua the same today, yesterday, forever. Hear this word.
My advice to all, advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
I'm going to testify.
Those are the requirements there, to reverence and respect Jehovah, he who be, we be, his divine majesty. To walk, to trod in all his ways. To yad in all his yad, to trod in all his ways, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart, heart to call, and to keep his commandments is imperative. And then the audible, what does Kedemah Rehala Selassie, Negusa Negestachin, says to I and I, right, to fulfill the 10 words, the 10 commandments. Question 50, the 50th question. What makes the children of Yisrael unique? What makes the children of Yisrael, the children of Israel, Yasharala, unique? Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 to 15. Elohim, Ha'el, the Almighty, chose Yisrael, Ha'el chose Yisrael above all other peoples of the earth, of the earthly plane, to be his own treasured people. This and this only is Yahuwah Jehovah's choice, not Yasharala, Yisrael's righteousness, or we better, or we had more numbers than other people, or we was most ancient, or we started our civilization, or any of that rah, rah, rah. No, it's because Yahuwah Jehovah had chose Yisrael above all other peoples of the earth. Why? To be his own peculiar, his own treasured people. Question 51. What does it mean, Chaverim, to circumcise your heart? What does it mean to circumcise? This is an important verse right here in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Lamazet. Why? Why so? Why that? Why is it important? Because in the Brit Hadash and in Christianity, you hear a lot of talk about, oh, it's not like the Jews talk about circumcising, you know, the foreskin, you know, of the member, you know. But they make it seem as though it's something new. Right? It's been renewed, yes. You know what I mean? Somebody has to renew something as we have the covenant. Remember the two tablets that they received before, how with the Egel Masecha, they had broken it with a molten calf. Moshe went out for another 40 days. Yahuwah wrote on these other tablets. He came down again with it. And the covenant, right, the Brit, was effectively renewed. Right? I like to use this example in the linguistics, the word Adas, Mades, Adese, Hades, Hadash. We say the Brit Hadasha, we say the Adis, Adis, from the same root as Hadash, Hadish, to new, to renew. It's like when you fix a tire, you know, you ever get a flat tire, right? And you repair the hole or what, the breach that was in the tire, you repair that, right? And then they, you know, you blow up the tire again, and it's basically, it's, you can say it's the same tire, but the flat has been fixed and it has been renewed. This is the sense, the Hebrew sense, of the new. So we talk about the Brit Hadasha. It's not in counterfeit Christianity sense, because as Rabbeinu Yeshua HaNotri says, he says to the Samaritan woman, y'all worship that which you know not. We know we worship salvation of the Yehudi, is of the Jews. So we have to see it in its proper context. So here, the 51st question here for the Shabbat Aikev, what does it mean to circumcise your heart? What does it mean? It means to, in one sense, to soften the heart, right? To, quote, cut away, to go around it, right? Circumcise, like circumference, to go around it, right? And to cut away the thickening part of the self, of the ego, of the he-go, of the she-go, that blocks access to Ha'el, Ha'ilahim, to the Almighty's truth, to the Almighty's reality. So what does it mean, Habarim, to circumcise your heart, but to circumcise I and I heart, to make the heart more iritically, spiritually sensitive by going around and cutting away the sickening part of the self, right, of the ego, of the ego, of the shego, that blocks, right, that blocks access, the sensitivity, access to Ha'el, Ha'ilahim's truth, right, as well as the clean, you know, keep it clean, Chaverim. It's like Psalm 24 here, love, Queen Machida, right, Niki Kapayim Ubar Lebab, Niki Kapayim, clean hands, right, Ubar Lebab. Ubar levav, and a purified, to purify the heart, go around it, right? Know thyself, know thy heart. Go around it and cut away the thickening part of the self that blocks access to Jah's truth, to the really real reality. Question 52. Moshe described Yahweh Hashem as the God of gods and as the Lord of Lords. What attributes, what midot are associated with these titles in the text? According to the text we have in Deuteronomy Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 to verse 19. verse 17 to verse 19. Let's get our sword right here. Give me one moment, brothers and sisters. I'm going to get the hard copy right here. Who would like to go into this verse? Important verse here. Yeah. Where do we put it? Where is it? So this question here, important question, is probably staring me right in the face. You know, we have these books here that we can build on it. Give me one moment, brothers and sisters.
I'm going to testify.
Here we go to testify. So we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17. Got the Chumash in hand. Chapter 10, verse 17. So here, chapter 10 and verse 17, Chaburim. Go to verse 17 right here. For the Lord your God, he is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and the awful, who, or the awesome, the dreadful in that sense, who regardeth not faces or persons, nor taketh reward. So here, Ki Yehovah Elohekem Huwa Eloheyaha Elohim Awa Adoneyaha Adonim Ha'el Ha'gadol Ha'gibor V'Hanora Asher Loa Yisafanim V'Loa Yikach Shohad. So here, the full of full. So he is God of gods, or Elohei, Elohim, Ha-Elohim, Elohei, Ha-Elohim, the Elohim of the Elohim, the Elohim of Elohim, the nature of natures, right, the Elohim of Elohim, Wa-Adonai, and the Adonai, and the Lord of Ha-Adonai, and the Lord of the Lords, the Sovereign of the Sovereigns, the Master of the Master, Va-Adonai, Ha-Adonai, Wa-Adonai, Ha-Adonai, Ha-El, Ha-El, the great God, Ha-El, the power, Ha-Gadol, Hayel Hagadol. He is Hayel Hagadol. He is the great power, the great God, the great Almighty, the big up power, the big up Almighty. Hayel Hagadol, Hagibor. He is Hagibor. He is the Gibor. He is the mighty, the vigorous, the mighty. Hagibor. He is the Gibor, the mighty. With Ha Nora. And he is Nora, Ha-Nora. He is the awful, the terrible, the dreadful, the dreadsome. So this is the sense of the dread, like awe-inspiring. He is awful. With Ha-Nora, Asher, the one who lo yisah, fanim. He is the one who does not lift up faces or shows like a regard, right, to faces. That's translated often as partiality to persons. He doesn't show partiality to faces. Asher, lo yisah fanim. Don't lift up faces. Velo and no and not yikach. And he does not take velo yikach shohad. And he does not take a shohad. He don't take a bribe. You can't bribe him. He don't take a reward. Velo yikach. Velo yikach shohad. He does not take a reward. He has no regard of persons or faces, or favoritism to faces. If they cast off his yoke, his discipline, his musar, and cannot be appeased, he cannot be appeased by bribery. You can't bribe him. This is why it says, velo yikach shohad. He doesn't take a reward. He don't take a gubo. He don't take a bribe. He does not condone the wicked, the rasha, the ratchet acts, defiant acts of a man, because Abiv, his father, was pious. His father was a tzaddik. His father was righteous. Nor does he overlook a transgression, because the sinner, The Akka also performed a meritorious deed. In other words, just because I may have done something right, something good that had great merit in the past, if we uck up now, you know, we can't try to use that to bribe. Remember what I did before? That was a great thing then. Don't look at, no. Judgment. So here. Elohim is just and impartial. This is to bring out the sense here from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 17, right? Slicka, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 to 19, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 to 19, where Yahuwah, Jehovah, is described as being Elohe HaElohim, right? The Elohim of Elohim, the Netcher of Netchers, Wadonai HaAdonim. And he is the Lord of Lords, the Sovereign of Sovereigns, the Master of Masters. This is to say that Ha'el, the power of the Almighty, is just, righteous, just, and impartial. Right? Don't show no partiality. He's impartial and is not subject to bribery. I mean, look at this. Look at this, people. He chose Yisrael. He chose our patriarch, our forefathers. He swore by his own self. He sevented himself. He, in a sense, bound himself by his own word. But yet, even in today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, we get to see the contrast that when the children go away from that, he is just, he is righteous. So this shows that even to I and I, Yisrael, to Yasharallah, that he says in his own word, he has made us Elohim. He has made us most high above all nations and our king, our anointed king, right, from that seed of David, is Elyon, is most high as he is El Elyon. And even though he is most high, right, and Israel is said to be made most high above all peoples, and our king, our Davidic anointed Messiah king is Elyon, he is most high above all the kings and rulers, potentates, whatever they want to call themselves, presidents, prime ministers of this earth, of this earthly plane. But then when we go off, right, even after 400 plus years, what does he do? He remains just and impartial and not subject to any bribery, even from I and I. He has punished I and I. So let that be a lesson to all nations. He cares for the downpressed, for the orphan, for the widow, for the stranger, the ger. Yisrael Yasharallah is particularly, we are told, right, we are commanded and told to love the stranger, the ger, right? Why? Because we were once strangers in Mitzrayim. We were once strangers in the Kemet, the Hikapata, Egypta, Egypt, and Gibbet, according to Exodus, Shemot 23 and 9. And here, when it says he cares for the downpressed, I and I, Rastafari, I called chosen and faithful. What we talk about, the creed, right, to keep the creed, right? So here, this is a segue to ones who haven't got ear to hear or haven't heard before can hear. This is the credo right here. All right, let the hungry be fed. Yeah.
Blessed be Ab, Ubu, Manfat, Sadu, Adu, Amla, Aman. Princess has come out of Egypt. Ethiopians now stretches forth their hands unto God. O God of Ethiopia, our divine majesty, thy spirit has come into our heart to dwell in the path of righteousness, leads us. Help us to forgive that we must be forgiven. Teach us love, loyalty, on earth as it is in Zion. Endure us with thy wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to do thy will. Thy blessing to you, that the hungry be fed, naked be clothed, the sick nourish, the aged protected, and the infants cared for. Deliver us from the hands of our enemies, that we may prove fruitful in these last days, when our enemies are past and decay, in the depths of the sea, in the depths of the earth, or in the bowels of a beast. Oh, give us all a place in thy kingdom forever. Selah. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Jah, thou art the strength and our Redeemer, that liveth and reigneth in the heart of man.
I and I testifying right here. Got a couple more questions before we ride up with today's daily psalm. And today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, really, really interesting. It has like two parts. I think previously it came up within this season right here. And we touched on a few, maybe a week or two or so ago, according to the royal order. And Psalm 89 is really, really very interesting because it really brings out this point of Yahuwah and Eloheinu, his impartiality in Psalm. He's more the faith, meditation and national adversity among national adversaries. There's two divisions I clearly marked out in Psalm 89. He's more the faith, with the break Hebraically at verse 39 and the KJV at verse 38. The first section, it deals with the past, Yisrael's past history, in which the two attributes of Ha-Elohim, mercy and faithfulness, were abundantly demonstrated in his relationship with Yisrael, with Yisrael. In particular, the promise, the yea, yea, the amen, amen, to David HaMelech, that his throne would endure forever to time indefinite, is recalled in today's daily psalm. Then comes the second section with a disillumined, a darkened picture of the nation's vicissitudes and the overthrow of the kingdom, the overthrow of the government by a triumphant enemy. So glaring is the contrast between the yea, yea, the amen, and its frustration that the psalmist and I must give utterance to. I perplexity is a perplexity that's uttered in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Feit, in forceful language, and then finally praying to Ha'elohim, to Eloheinu, that he will remember Amo, his people, Jah, people in their adversity, and even amongst their adversaries. The circumstances, they point to the time of the nation, the national downfall before the Babylonians. So here we're looking at the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Yehuda, the kingdom of we, the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, there, some say, in the Levant, before they was taken into captivity by Babylon. So what's interesting about today's daily psalm, as we scroll through it right here, right? It has verses like this in verse 28 here in the Hebrew, corresponding with verse 27 in the King James Version, I will also appoint him firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Af ania bikora et penehu elyon le malkei aretz. I also will appoint for sure, I myself, Bikor is like the firstborn, Bikor, I will give him Etanehu as Bikor, as firstborn. And here, the second part of Psalm 89 in the King James Version, verse 27 in the Hebrew, verse 28, where it reads, Elyon le malchei aret, Elyon, most high of the kings of the earth. And this is now in direct connection with the Davidic covenant, the covenant with Dawid that picks up and begins in today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, King James Version at verse 19. At verse 19 all the way to verse 37, where we then get after that the second part, the contrast, where it says, forever will I keep for him my mercy, chasdi, my covenant, my veriti, shall stand firm with him. His seed, his race also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of Shemayim. If, now here's the condition, right, KJV verse 30, the Hebrew verse 31, if his children forsake my law and walk not in mine ordinances, im ya'azvu, anaf, torati, if they forsake, if they leave, Torati, my Torah, my direction, instruction, ima ya'azvu, banayo Torati, uavea mishapatai, and my judgments, my ordinance, my judgment, and in my judgment, uva mishapatai, uabe mishpatai, and in my judgments, lo yelechun, and not halaka, yalak, not tried, if they don't walk, and they walk not in my judgments. Next verse, if they profane my statutes, ima hukotai, ye halelu. Not halal, but ha, not ha, but ha, close the fence, ye halelu, if they profane, literally, the halal means to pour, bore holes in it, right, if they bore holes in it, right, profaning, chukotai, and keep not my commandments, Mitzvotai, lo yishamoru, and not yishmoru, not hedging, not guarding, not protecting. If they keep not my commandments, what's going to happen? Here, KJV verse 32, Hebraically verse 33, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with strokes, but my mercy will I not break off from him, nor will I be false, nor will I be pseudo to my faithfulness. Mention the word faithful, be'emunati. Emuna is also faith. It can mean faithfulness, my trustworthiness, my credit worthiness, my amen worthiness. I will not be false to my faithfulness. My covenant will I not profane, Yahuwah Hashem says, nor alter that is gone out of my lips. This is use of a vow. Recall, Habarim, in Numbers chapter 30, verse 13, that which is gone out of my lips, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth, nor alter that which is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, once time Ahat Nisha Bayati Be Kadeshi. In my Kadeshi, my set apartness, surely I will not be false to Dawid. I will not be false to David, to Dovet. Im Le Dawid. Akhazev. 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 Right? I will not lie. Right? Not be false. Right? If to David I lie, the sense of it, I will not lie. I will not lie to Dawid. Verse 37 here, Hebraically corresponding to King James Version, Psalm 89, verse 36. His seed, his race shall endure forever to time indefinite. And his throne as the sun, his throne is not the sun, but his throne is like the sun. And his throne as the sun before me, before I. Zar'o le'olam. Yehiyeh. Yehiyeh. It will be. Yehiyeh. Zar'o. His seed. His zar. Zara. His seed. Zar'o. Le'olam. To the world without end, to time indefinite. Yehiyeh. Yehiyeh. Right? Will endure. It will be. It will be, it will be, what it will be, it will be. V'kiso, 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 with and kiso and his throne. Ka shemesh, ka shemesh, like the shemesh, like the sun. Negadi, negadi, before, in front of I, before I. It shall be established forever as the moon. And be steadfast, be firm as the witness. As the witness in the sky, Selah, Selah. Now, here's where this big contrast comes in, right? When we get to the KJV, verse 37, the Hebrew verse 38, the next verse says, but thou, but the I, the Ata, but the I has cast off and rejected. The Ata, the Nachta, the Timas. Fatimas, and rejected. Thou hast been wrought, rotted. Hita abarta, hita avarta, hita barta been hot, rough. Im mishecheka, im with mishecheka, im mishecheka. You have been wroth with your Messiah, with mishecheka. Thou hast abhorred the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown even to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his fences. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. I mean, look, for example, at Ethiopia. 3,000 years. Look at these last 100 years. Chan. All that pass by the way spoiled him. They snatch and take for themselves. He has become a taunt, a byword, a derision, a reproach to his neighbors. All right. We'll get into that a little bit more as today's daily song, but just to show the segue right here, we have question 52, where Moshe describes Yahweh as Elohei, Ha Elohim, as Adonai, Ha Adonim, as Elohim of Elohim, the Netcher of Netchers, as Adonai, Ha Adonim, as the Master of Masters, the Sovereign of Sovereign. So what other attributes are associated with these titles in the text, according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. Verse 18 says, he doth execute justice for the fatherless and widow, and love the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Rastafari creed, the creed, right? Keep the creed. Verse 19, love y'all. Love you all, love y'all, therefore the stranger, for ye, for y'all were strangers in the land of Mitzrayim, in the land of Kemet, in the land of Mitzrayim. Question 53, what is Yisrael's praise? What is Einai Isis? What is our praise according to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21? What is Einai praise? What is I and I eyes is Yahweh, Yahuwah alone. He who be, who he be, alone. He who he be alone, is I and I praise, is I and I eyes, is he who be, who? He is the proper object of Yisrael, of Yasharallah's glorification. Have this from Berit HaYashana, from what they call the Old Testament to New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. Compare, contrast that with Jeremiah, Ermias, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. And here's the verse in Devarim in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10 at verse 21, it says, who? He. Tehilatika, Tehilatika, the halal, Tehilatika, the Tehillah, Tehillah, halal, the ilil, the exaltation, the praise, who, he himself and none other, who, Tehilatika, he is the I praise, with who and he, Eloheka, and he is thy Elohim, thy true good, thy true God. Asher asa itika etaha gedolot, gedolota, we etaha noraota, ha eile, asher rau eineka, rau Aineka, he is thy glory, he is thy Elohim, that have done for thee I these great and tremendous things that thine eyes have seen. Interesting here, Habarim, we're going over the Ikev, right, the 46 for the continuity, and here we're at the 47th for the Shabbat. Re'e is saying to one man or many men as one man in this Hebrew, this corporate sense of all call Yisrael as one man. We're members of the body that Moshiach is the Rosh, is the head of, saying to Re'e, to see. But here, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21, where it reads, who, tehilatika, v'hu eloheka, asher asa itika, eta ha gedolota, v'eta ha noraota, ha'el, asher ra'u, aineka, ra'u, ra'u, y'all seeing, seen, ra'u, aineka, that your eyes have seen the tremendous things that your eyes have seen. So he is, right? Wuhu haya, wuhu hove, wuhu yihye betiferah, in tiferah, in tafarai, yes I, Rastafari.
Wuhu haya, wuhu hove, wuhu yihye betiferah.
That in the scripts and also on the Eitz Chaim, on the tree, even the tree of life and liberty, the Tiferet. So he is Ayin I praise, he is Ayin I Tehillah, he is our exaltation, exalt him, he is Ayin I Isis. Question 54, what is the primary duty given to Yisrael, Yasharallah, the first duty given to Yisrael according to Deuteronomy, Devarim 11 and 1? To love Yahweh Jehovah and to, quote, keep his charge, end quote, by means of obedience to his commandments, to his imperatives. Now, when it says to keep his charge, right, Vishamarta, Mishamarto, Mishmarto, to keep his charge. It's like a commission to bring it like up to date, like with how we use language today, corresponding to like a charge is like keep his commission. So Yisrael is like a commissioned officer. All of I and I is one man. And the primary duty given to Amo Yisrael is to keep his charge, keep his commission. And how do we keep his commission? By means of the Shema Yisrael, right? Tishmeun, the obedience to Mitzvotayo, to his Mitzvotav, to his imperative, to his commandments. As Gormawi Nugus Neges, the King of Kings, says, my advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Question 55, Chaberim. Why did Moshe remind Ha'am, the people, even this whole new generation, the children of the old timers that wandered to death for 40 years in the wilderness, right? But why does Moses right here in the Shabbat Aikah, why does he remind Ha'am, the people of Datan and Abiram, here, in verse 6, right, of chapter 11, verse 6, he says this right here. And what he did to Datan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and every living substance that followed them in the midst of all Yisrael, in the midst of all Yasharal, in the midst of all of Israel. Why, Moshe? Why does he remind the people, this whole new generation? Many of them were very young. Some of them may not have been born, right, as of yet, or very young when this happened back then, right? Why does Moses choose this particular instance to remind them of Datan and Abiram here? Moshe used a swallowing up incident where the earth, she opened her mouth. She said, enough of this nonsense talk. Chai gave me a charge to swallow you up. Moses, he used a swallowing up of Datan and Abiram, warning, as a warning, or we could say as a caution. A caution, right, to caution Ha'am, to caution Jah people not to rebel, right, not to rebel, because a place for you. The earth, you know, she'll swallow you up too. Note that Moses' cousin, Korach, the cousin of Moshe, he was the instigator. It's a family affair, yeah. The instigator of this rebel lion, this rebellion, it goes unmentioned here. So now Moshe, giving this narrative here, he doesn't bring out what we already know from the previous, right, the previous narrative. He doesn't bring out Korach. So to a new generation, he's selecting, right, he's selecting certain lessons. It's like if you live through people's parents, you're the children, right? You already knew their parents, like it's Moshe reaching 120, right? And you're trying to give the children some points of advice, some good advice and everything. You have to go through everything. Plus, it's already written. It's been written. You say, who wrote the Torah? How come Moses write? You don't read. Really, come on now. Come on. We say Moses wrote this. They wrote that. The Levites wrote this. Joshua wrote that. Everybody's writing. The Israelite sons are told to write these things on their gates. So maybe in these other cultures, only the priests were literate. But that wasn't the case of Yasharala. That wasn't the case of Israel, at least not then. Maybe now we have to up our reading comprehension into all the once lost, now found. Have no shame in that. If one's reading is not up to par, there's a lot of interesting programs out there. One can go get their GED, get their reading up. Come on now. You don't let these fools make you feel foolish, right? Only foolish if you know what you should do and you don't do what you should do. But here, he doesn't mention Korah, which is an interesting note right here. Question 56. What do you think, quote, the whole commandment means in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8? Now, most think when it says the whole commandment, most people think that this is a synonym, that this is the same word for the entire set of the Torot, direction instructions of the chukot or the chukim, of the statutes or the mishpotim or the rules or the judgments that occupy habrit, that occupy, right, or rather that accompany, right, in the sense of accompany, right, the covenant that was given at Horeb Sinai. Most people think that where it reads in Deuteronomy chapter 11 at verse 8, therefore shall you keep all the commandment that I command thee this day, that ye that y'all may be strong and go in and possess the land, whither where y'all go over to possess it, to possess her. Now let's over this. Can we take Yahuwah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem at his word? He says, therefore shall y'all keep all the commandments. We already see the example of the new generation of the youths. The youths are a little more Torah observant, and they're on the march. They're getting victory, right? They're kicking, we could say, the asses of these other tribes, that laugh and mocking them and everything, and they're taking names, and the names are in the narrative because they are showing more fidelity, right, more loyalty to Yahweh. So the new generation, as the Rasta elder said, Yah calls on the youths because they are strong. So this is a beautiful contrast. Most people miss this contrast between the old heads, the elders, and the youngins. In this case, these youngins are beautiful youngins. You know how the most time people think, like, the youths don't appreciate what the elders did. Well, Moses is saying, hey, youths, y'all really need to appreciate, in other words, really understand what your parents did. And he's giving them these direction instructions. And here he's saying, therefore, you shall keep all the commandment, which in some translation is brought out as keep the whole commandment. Ua shamartem, and y'all to shamar, to hedge about. Ua shamartem et the kol ha mitzvah. Kol ha mitzvah. Now, something that here it actually says all the commandments. I want to point that out. Not all the commandments, right? It says kol ha mitzvah. What is the commandment, brothers and sisters? The 10 words. The 10 words is the commandment. James, in the epistle of James in the New Testament, where he says, if you break one, you break all. What is he quoting? He is quoting the Esaret HaDibarim. He's quoting the 10 words, which is known as the commandment, because the essence, right, the essence. In other words, if we were able to fulfill the 10 words, all the rest will be just commentary and case study. The 10 words is the core, is the heart of the matter, because that is the words that he spoke with his own mouth. And those words, when he spoke, the people, their hearts failed them. They asked for Moshe to be their mediator because of what they heard. It says here that I command thee this day that y'all may be strong. Y'all may be strong. Asher anoki mitzavka hayom lima'an techezko. Techezku, y'all may be chazak, techezku, that y'all may be strong. U'avatem, and go in, via rishtem, and inherit et ha'aret, the land asher, that which atem, right, that which you all atem, speaking to all of this new generation, asher atem, all of y'all, Ovrim, aber, like Hebere, to cross over. Ovrim, Shama, cross over. Zeya, le rishtaha, to inherit ha. So some think that this is a synonym for the entire set of the laws, all the laws, the statutes, the judgments, some count 613 Chaburim. We say yes, in that synonymous sense it is, but in the direct sense it's speaking to the heart of HaTorah. It's speaking to the Aseret HaDevarim. It's speaking to the ten words, even those ten. Remember the 10 words? That His Majesty, Kedemawi Halas Alasi, remind I and I and we, the line of the
My advice to all advice to all advice to all advice to is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Call HaMitzvah. HaMitzvah. Call HaMitzvah.
You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments, of the Ten and man elaborate on hand, elaborate on hand, elaborate.
I'm going to testify.
So here, testimony, testifying and elaborating on Jah's testimony, because this is the testimony we must testify. Remember, he gave I and I a charge. Question 57, what makes you strong and imparts longevity? Now, notice it said in Deuteronomy 11 and 8, it says right here, it says, therefore shall y'all keep all the commandments that I command thee, I, this day, that ye, you all may be strong, may be strong, and go in and possess. Oh, that's it. Too much weakness, weak heart. Weak heart, too much weak heartedness, once lost, now found. That's weak heartedness. Right? He says, keep the mitzvah. If we keep the mitzvah, then we'll be strong. So all the things that hold back the once lost, right, now found, but want to act like they're still lost, you know, is that weakness. As the elder said, that weak heartedness, because you're not writing these words in your heart, so you have a weak heart. You can't face the enemy. You can't even figure out what the enemy is doing until it's too late. Right, because you don't walk Yahweh, truth, and life. So the next question here is, well, what makes you strong? What makes you strong? What imparts longevity? Here, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, read verse 8, verse 9 says, and that y'all may prolong your days up on the land that Yahuwah, Jehovah swore to your fathers, your patriarchs, to give to them and to their seed, and to their race, a land flowing with milk and honey. So the question still, what makes you strong? You become chazak. The answer is actually in Deuteronomy chapter 11, the verse before, verse 8. You become chazak, strong, when you obey Jah's instruction. I and I will become strong, right? When I and I obey Yahweh's, Jehovah's instruction, he who be, we be. When I and I, Rastafari, obey his majesty instruction, for my part I glory in the Bible, fulfill the 10 words, the 10 commandments. This is how we become chazak. That's why that previous generation, first proclaimers, that's why they were strong, right? And they lacked a lot of the things that we have now. We have more things, more access to knowledge and information. They shall go to and fro and knowledge increase. You got more knowledge, but it's more weakness. It's more weakness than ones that turning back going to Kemet, right? You see, when we study Torah the right way, we learn the truth about Mitzrayim, the truth about Kemet, and also the truth about black culture. So you become strong, chazak, when you obey Yahuwah's instruction. As it says in verse 8, therefore shall you keep all the commandments that I command thee this day, that ye may be strong. Ushamaratem at the call ha-mitzvah. Asher Anokia Mitzauka Hayom Lima'an Techezko Techezko. So y'all may be Chazak Techezko. Question 58. How did Moses describe the land of Mitzrayim, of Kemet, of Egypt? And how did he contrast this with the promised land? According to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 to 12. Mitzrayim, Egypt was an irrigated land. Egypt was an irrigated land where seed was sown, quote, like a garden of vegetables. So the key quote is like a garden of vegetables. So Mitzrayim, Egypt, the Hekapita, Gibbets, was an irrigated land. Kemet was an irrigated land, and it was irrigated because of the highlands of Tobia, of Ethiopia, an irrigated land where seed was sown like a garden of vegetables. Canaan, the Canaanu is a land of hills and valleys that drinks water by the rain from Shemayim, from the heavens, a land that Yahuwah, Jehovah Atzmo himself cares for. This is why when they slander the Et Tovah, the Tovah, Tobia, the good, the good land, this is why it was so, when you say they slandered, he said they blasphemed, they slandered the land because it's a land that he cares for. They slandered, they spoke ill of something that he cares for. Question 59, what does Ha'el Hayim, right, have his eye on every day, every day, every day of the year, right? Deuteronomy 11 and 12, what does Ha'el Hayim have his eye on every day of the year? Well, the promised land. The land, the land, 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 land. It's all about the real estate, the land, the promised land given to Yasharala, given to Yisrael. Question 60. What does Ha'el Ha'ilahim promise? His yea, yea, his amen, amen, if, that's a conditional, if it's your choice, all right? If we, if I and we love and obey and Shema'ah and obey him. Deuteronomy, Devarim, 11. Chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, what does Jah promise? He will give the rains in their seasons to refresh the land and to produce bountiful crops. So who causes famine? Who causes famine? God, or is it man? That's what His Majesty Haile Selassie asked him when they were blaming him for the drought in Ethiopia. Right, that's because certain things were changing. Ones were, it's like the Israelites, like in this, you know, they seen, they received of the good, but then they decided their free choice. Remember, there's that free choice. They decided, you know, to refuse, right, and therefore they lose. He will give the rains in their season to refresh the land. So even the rain in its season, right, not out of season, when it says that in the last days, the seasons will be out of season, because humanity is more and more in their uckery, they're out of order. You shall eat and be full. Yahuwah Jehovah also promises, give his yea, yea, his amen, amen, that he would drive out the inhabitants of the land. According to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 22 to 25. A couple more questions to get through this right here, for the itinuity purposes in our studies. Question 61. Moshe, he warns us, I and I, against our hearts being deceived. Can you become heartically deceived? Moshe warns us against our hearts. Our minds, our feelings, emotion, our minds, right? Our hearts being diseased, deceived, right? Well, deceived is that disease. By what? By what? According to Deuteronomy 11 and 16, Moshe, he warns us against turning aside after Elohim Acharim, after other Elohim, other people's Elohim, other idea. You know, I hear people say, we all worship one God. What's their name? You know, people say that. See, when the Bible says, the scripture says, in the New Testament especially, there's for us, right, in Robeinu Yeshua HaNotri, there is one Elohim, even Elohim Ha'av. But even Paul says so, and the scripts say so, from the new to the old to the new, that no matter how many gods or lords there be, like for other peoples, remember, he is the God of gods, so there must be other gods, right? But he is, before him, there was none, and truly after him, there be none. So he warns us of turning aside, right? This turning aside has a kind of a sense in the scripture, like committing, like say a man, say his wife, when a, you know, is going to next man to husband her, you know, if you know what I mean. Know what I mean? You know, that's what this word, it has that sense of turning aside. So it's like saying the sons of Yisrael have become like unfaithful wives, unfaithful women. In other words, it's like saying, you know, they become bitch ass. And just to put it in the language you could understand, time is getting late, you know, turning aside after Elohim Acharim, especially on account of lust. We're not just talking about sexual lust, but craving. You know, like when you hear some of one say, well, the white man does it, the white man get away with it. Like, what you craving after? You want to be a white man? Then you say, we better than this, and we bad, and we the first. And then you always comparing yourself to him. It's like lowered expectations. Turning aside after Elohim Acharim is lowered expectation, especially on account of lust, covetousness, desire to have something that's not yours, right, and not even good for you. Note that the word for deceived here in the Hebrew is patach, patach. Now, patach, right, in the Hebrew, fatah, like the fatah, it means to open, to unloosen. Now, this here, it's related, the patach, right, the patach, right, patach is related to peor, peor, right, as in Baal peor, as well to the Hebrew word peti, peti. The Hebrew word peti is like when in the translation it says like in the simple, you know what it says, the simple, to say like the foolish. But literally in the Hebrew, it's bringing out the sense of peti, peti, peti. It's a pity, 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 pity. They're so peti, peti. Hebraically speaking, they're so foolish. They're so patah. They're so open, right? Patah, right? Patah, patah, patah here, soft, patah, right? They're so open. That means they're open to any suggestion. Right, they can be open to a good suggestion, but it could be any suggestion that they're open to. It's like people say, have an open mind, so to speak. The patah, right? Patah, they're open. It's like the Baal Peor, the Lord of the opening, right? To peti, right? They're foolish, open to any and every suggestion. That's what Moshe, he warns us about, being peti, peti, piti, piti, being foolish, open to any even stupid suggestions. Like people talking about, oh, the Ten Commandments came from the 42 negative confession. First of all, confession and commandments not even the same class. Now, talking about sins or whatnot, yeah, I guess a lot of people talk about what they do bad. But if I talk about what I do bad or what I haven't done and you was given commandments not to do it, I don't think of it as the same. I basically didn't do it. You're told not to do it. Who knows whether you would do it or not? Now, somebody picks up on me saying, I haven't done it to fool some underworld gods. You believe in that? Hey, it's a Torah for us, not a funeral program. Question 62. Yes, I was talking about the Purim Heru. Yeah, it's not meant for really any of us or any of them living, but only for the dead. Where's the Egyptian Bible? I see a lot of Kemetics like to go to the Bible. Where's their Bible? Why don't some of you guys put together all these writings into a book so we can also say, go to chapter such and such, since y'all use a Torah to try to say you understand ancient Egypt by some crazy reverse engineering, right, that you got from the same European that has used Egyptology to confuse you from your real identity. Question 62, what would happen if Jah people turned aside? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 17. Ha'el, Ha'el's wrath. He would go ham. He would go ham on them. Yeah, use the Hebrew word, even in the English context. He would go ham. He would go ham on them. He would be hot, right? His wrath would be kindled. He would go ham, right? First, the people, Jah people would experience drought, right, or drought. They would experience drought. Does it sound familiar? Right, with what happened in Ethiopia during the time of the godless and the creeping serpentine coup against the king of kings of Ethiopia. And if they did not repent, if they didn't do teshuva, nitzhagibu, Ethiopia, wehoi, if they didn't repent, right, have a change of mind or think different, ha'el, ha'el, the Almighty would exile them. They would go into exile from the land. The first time in recorded history that one of the ancient nations and ancient peoples, speaking about the Ethiopians, went into exile into foreign lands, corresponding with the godless and creeping coup against his divine majesty, and also corresponding with the drought that happened that they try to blame on the one who they say is just a man. So if he's just a man, then how are you blaming this on Haile Selassie I? But if you were in this Hebrew and Israelite covenant, maybe this is what it means, Hebrew Israelites, Yasharallah, Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 12. Ye Ethiopians also shall be slain by my sword. What is the sword of Yahuwah, of Jehovah? Is it not the word? So what would happen if the people, if Jah people, even in the highlands of Tobi of Ethiopia, the Israelites of Ethiopia, even if they, after so many thousands of years, if they turn aside, what would happen? Well, Ha'el Ha'il's wrath, his wrath, would be kindled. He'll go harm on them. And first, Jah people, the people would experience drought and drought. And if they did not repent and different, correct themselves, turn away, do a 180 from the straight way, and return to Yahweh, truth and life, Ha'el, Ha'el, Jah would exile them. They will become falasha, right, in principle. They will be exiled, right, from the land. First time ever Ethiopians have been living in exile. Right, because of these same events that we trace to the glory of His Majesty, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Question 63. What are Totafot? Totafot, Deuteronomy 11 and 18. The Totafot are four compartments of the tefillin, the head tefillin. They are often translated as phylacteries or bands or the frontlets between thine eyes. Question 64. Yeah, I know it does seem to have an Egyptian connection, right? But what is it? If you don't study Torah, you won't know it. Question 64, right? What should we talk about the commandments, right? Or when, rather, when should we, right, talk about the commandments of Jehovah? When? Like when? When's the right time? Like on Sundays? On Saturdays? You know what I mean? What time? You know, at a holy time, right? In church, in the synagogue, where? Right? And sure, where? Deuteronomy 11, 19. When should we talk about the commandments, the imperatives of Jehovah? At all times, the call Zaman, at all times, at all seasons, when you are sitting, when you are walking, when you lay down to sleep at night, when you get up, every day. Here, question 65 to bring to fulfillment here for the continuity, itinuity. What is a mezuzah? What is a mezuzah? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 20. A mezuzah, well, first of all, the word mezuzah is like the posts. Mezuzot is like the doorposts, of the house. So a mezuzah, in this context, Hebraically, is a kosher scroll. A kosher, a kashrut scroll that's inscribed. So it's a scroll that's inscribed with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, and Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 to 21. Again, a mezuzah, which is like the post, the doorpost, right, is a kosher scroll that's inscribed with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, the Shema Yisrael, and the accompanying verses, as well as Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 to 21, that is rolled up, right, metekel, right, and inserted into a decorative case. And this is affixed, attached to a doorway, to the doorpost of the doorway, in fulfillment of the mitzvah, of the imperative of the command that's given in Devarim and Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9, as well as in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 20, right here, here, here. A little bit of elaboration right here. Ikeb, Shabbat Ikeb. We'll pick up on some of the reason and topics and get into this Shabbat Re'eh here for the 47th sabbatical study. Seen, sight, Re'eh,
my advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
I'm going to testify.
With Ethiopia, this man was born there, Babylon, to them that know me. Of Rahab and Babylon, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. Man was born there. Selah. Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia.
Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring.
Then, so this is what kind of cause I think, because some people, you know, some Rasta man is more like, some Rasta don't see the work, in a sense of do the work. I personally believe that I must help and do the work. Some man believes that, well, I already just left everything to God. No, I don't believe in like that yet.
Believe it or not, credit it or discredit it, this is the work right here. I study to shew ourselves approved. This is the work right here, here, here. Today's daily psalm right here, Psalm 89. Let's segue here to today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, first ear.
Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible.
Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed, thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant, thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen, and 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 amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen and amen. Amen, amen. Here we complete the third book. It's interesting, the third book of the Psalter. You know, here, coming to a fulfillment right here with the Amen and the Amen. Also, we had previously gone through the first part. There's like two parts of today's daily psalm. And we went through the first part in the Royal Amharic up to verse 37. Right? Like to go and share verse 38 to 52, the full of full. But here's a Rhema tune, a Rhema right now tunical meditation. There's a lot of the ICAP, the consequences, the twofold, the choices, choosing to obey, right, and the Baraka. And then the second part of the psalm, choosing to disobey, and the Kalala. But here the watchman, Ijaman Levi, Jah watchman, here for today's daily psalm, Rhema tune. Give thanks, Chabarim, for this Rhema tune, Ijaman Levi, Jah watchman.
I am the living watchman, giving a
Watchman, the Watchman, Ijaman Levi, right there, there, there. It's interesting, brothers and sisters, Psalm 89. If you look at verses 1, you take verse 1 to verse, in the King James Version, you go from verse 1 to verse 37, the Selah right there, and then from verse 38 to like 50, 52. Depends on the version you read. I think it's 52 in the English, 53 in the Hebrew. You go to the last verse, you see two distinct parts of it. And here in the season, we have the Ikeb, the 46 sabbatical study, Ikeb, and it shall be, it shall happen, it shall come to pass. If you will hearken, what will the baraka be? And here for re'e. So here, at this 47th sabbatical study here, we are at the third day, and we like to read and study and chant an aliyah a day. So here, we're at the third day's reading right here for this Shabbat Re'eh means to see. It's a command. Re'eh. You know, achi, rei, my brother, see, rei. All right, so speaking to all of us as one man to see. So here, let's give ear right here, the third day, aliyah right here for the T to T, third day of the Shabuah, counting from the first day that they call, the Gentiles call Sunday. Here, we have the Tuesday, third day of the Shabuah.
Sabbatical study, this I-9 Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad.
We are picking up with Deuteronomy chapter 12 from verse 29 to Deuteronomy 13, 18, the third day, the third
hour. Hear, Shema, give ear. Here for the Shalishi, the third Aliyah. Here for the third Aliyah. Here for this Shabbat, Re'ei, Sabbath, behold, Sabbath, see. Here. Picking up with the fifth book of Moshe, of Moses, the Hebrew book called Deuteronomy chapter 12, the conditions of Baraka, blessing in the land. Here, picking up with verse 29 for the Shalishi, for the third Aliyah, the third reading, the third up offering for this Shabbat Re'ei. Ki yakriti yawa Eloheka etahagoyim asha ata ba shama la resheta otama mipaneka we ya rashta otam we ya shabta bi aritzam. When Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the Elohim, shall cut off the nations from before thee, I, ki yakriti Yahweh Eloheka, et ha-goyim, whither where thou goest to possess them, asha ata ba shama la resheta otam mipaneka, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, with ya rashta otam with ya shabta bi'aritzam. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed, downstroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their Elohim, their gods, saying, how did these nations, these nationalities, serve their Elohim? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so. To Jehovah, the I Elohim. For every abomination, Layawa, to Jehovah, which he hateth, have they done to their Elohim. For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their Elohim, their gods. What thanks soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And here, Shema Yisrael. Here, give ear. Fifth book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Deuteronomy chapter 13, the test of false prophets. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake to thee, saying, let us go after other Elohim, Elohim Acharim, which thou hast not known, and let us, make us, make I and I serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words, the barim of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Yahweh Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh Elohim, proveth you to know whether ye all love Yahweh Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul, your psyche. Ye shall walk after Yahweh Elohim, after Jehovah Yahweh Elohim, and fear him and respect him, and keep his commandments, his imperatives, and obey Shema'ah, his vocal, his voice. And ye, y'all, shall serve him and cleave to him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he have spoken to turn you away from Yahweh Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the land of Kemet, Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah, the I Elohim, commanded thee to walk in, to trod in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If, Achika, if thy brother, Windemir, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which who is as thine own soul, thine own nephesh, psyche, entice thee secretly, Lemor, saying, let us, make I and I go and serve Elohim, Acharim, other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely, the Elohim, the gods of the people, which who are round about you, nigh, near to the eye, or far off from the eye, from the one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earthly plain. Thou shalt not consent to him, nor hearken to him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spear, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all Ha'am, all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he died, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, who brought thee out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the land of Kemet, Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Yisrael, call Yisrael, shall hear and fear and respect, reverence, and shalt do no more any such wickedness, ratchetness as this is among you. If thou shalt hear, say, in one of thy cities, which Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, have given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, of Beliah, Blair, Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve Elohim Acharim, other gods, which y'all have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and thou shalt burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for Jehovah the I Elohim, and it shall be a heap for Iva. It shall not be built again, and there shall cleave naught, nothing, naught of the cursed thing to thine hand. that Yahweh, Jehovah, may turn from the fierceness of his anger and shew thee chesed, mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he hath sworn to thy fathers, to thy patriarchs. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, to keep all his commandments, his imperatives, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim,
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 Elohim.
My advice to all,
my advice to all,
my advice to all,
my advice to all,
is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel,
O children of Israel?
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiop, children of the Ethiop? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
So here we have Psalm 89. It's a full psalm, and to go through it, but looking at the time-wise here, also for the continuity, going over the previous Torah reading and feeding from study and from experience, we get to recognize and affirm in the previous Torah reading and feeding. In the study, then it's easy to go to the next Torah reading and to see the flow. But here, today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, Meditation and National Adversity. It's a very interesting psalm because this psalm here, it demonstrates today's daily psalm, Psalm 89, it demonstrates, means more to say, tate. It demonstrates the Torah reading and feeding here. Especially here, we're at the 47th sabbatical for Shabbat, or behold, picking up with Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17. So that there, that was the Aliyah right there for the third day, as the Torah reading and feeding can be divided into seven Aliyot, seven readings, seven readers on the Shabbat day, but also during the Shabuah, during the 7 days of the week, the Shabuah, we can kind of study an Aliyah a day. So here in looking at today's Aliyah, I like to get in it, and then seeing today's daily psalm, and just amazing right here that we have a perfect example in the Ikev, in the consequences, also with the Re'eh, with the Baraka, with the blessing, with the increase, and the Kalala, with the curse or the kind of trivializing, making it light, making it of no account, making it of little worse, like Alal. In the Afro-Asiatic languages that are related, Afro-Shemitically, we have like Khalil, from the Kalal sense, the Khalil, to make something easy. But not easy in a good way, but make it easy, the Kalal sense, in a you know, like somebody treats you like, you know, you're important, but they treat you like you're worthless or you're trivial, like you're less than, you know, who you really be. That's the sense right here, treating Yahweh, less than what it really, really is. And looking at today's daily psalm, we had focused more on the second part previously in the season. Right, let's just point out when previous, download the chart from LOJS.org, the Davidic worship, both having the evening psalms for the 7 days that are similar to those in Judaism even today. And the history on these seven psalms are that these are the psalms that were chanted in the temple. And to see the testimony among Judaism later on today from the older manuscripts, and also to find it among the Israelites of Ethiopia, also gives us a lot of proof positive of the viability of this order, the Davidic worship order. But we will ask ones and ones to download, you know, the fuller chart for the year, so ones can see how the various different psalms, they ebb and they flow in season and out of season. Now, we're still in season here, But as we're moving into the month of Elul, or the 6 months, we prepare with the Cheshbon HaNefesh, with our soul-searching time, as we're coming to the third of the three times in the year that our Torah says that all the males of Yisrael are to present themselves in the place that Yahuwah has set Shemo, has set Shemo, his name, has set the Hashem. Namely, context historically, Jerusalem was that place in the Brit Chadasha, in spirit and in truth. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple? That's if the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, be with thee. So here, looking at Psalm 89, here for this August, or what was August 24th, right? August 23rd, for August 23rd, was Psalm 89. And then when we trace it, we come to the 8th. On the 8th of August, we had this same psalm, Psalm 89. So seeing how the psalms, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, the Israelites of Ethiopia, how they reflect on the Torah readings and feedings, right, of we, even we, the black Jews, of the line of the tribe of Judah, is very interesting. And even more interesting in this season here, it's like a trifecta. We have the psalm here, Psalm 89. We still have a reasonment. Right, the discussion topics, the reasonings from the previous 86, from the 46 sabbatical study, but we're here in the 47th, right, the 47th. So here, let's just touch on a couple of these reasonings, and we're going to try to kind of go from the Psalms, use the evidence in the Psalms, as well as the evidence in HaTorah, and also any other right evidence amongst us in these latter days and times. So here, Ike Ebstell, 46 sabbatical study for continuity purposes. The Torah portion, the 46 for Shabbat Ike, Sabbath if, Sabbath because of, Sabbath on the heels of, Sabbath consequently. This Torah portion repeatedly stresses the importance of obeying all the laws, all the Torah, the direct instructions, all of the chukim, the hooks, the statutes, all of the rules, or the judgments, the rules, the mishpatim, the judgments, and all of the mitzvot, all of the commandments of HaElohim, of the Elohim, Eloheinu, that was revealed by Moshe. However, right, this is a topic for reason and discussion right here. So presenting the topic, and hopefully ones and ones, the ones and the twos and the threes, and I also more so collectively can reason on this. However, right, we know that through the revelation of Adonai Yeshua, or we'll say, generally speaking, through like the New Testament, we can say even, quote, Christianity, end quote, you know, revelation concerning Jesus Christ, the revelation of Rabbeinu Einai Rabbi, Yeshua HaNotri, we know that it is said that we are saved by trusting in his obedience to HaTorah and not our own. Now, I'll put a strong question there, because here's some of the Hebrew for Christians reasonments that we go over, but sometimes we have to do this right here, say, okay, this is what many say, but we have some question about this, because some say, even those Yehudi and Hebrews and Israelites, some of these ideas that are in Christianity are not really backed up by what we have in Torah. So some say the Old Testament, so to speak, says that, well, the importance of us obeying all of the laws, the statutes, the rules, the judgments and commandments revealed by Jah through Moses. However, in the New Testament sense, in the revelation of Yeshua, right, or others say, quote, Jesus, end quote, that we are saved by trusting in his obedience to HaTorah and not our own. All right, so I'm just going to lay out the question first and then go through some proofs of this and hopefully Talmudim take notes. So which is it? Which is it? Are we to obey the commandments of HaTorah, or are we to operate from a, quote, a different place, end quote? That's a question. Which is it? Is it obeying the laws, statutes, commandments, and judgments of Jehovah as Moshe and the Torah so clearly outlines, or in this, quote, New Testament right? We do affirm there's a New Testament, but it's not the way that the Gentiles have told it. And the new about that is they add their own funny newness in it. But in the Torah, yeah, there is a renewing. As we point out, the Egel Masekah, falsely called the golden calf. Golden calf is a pseudonym. It's not there in the text, the Hebrew text, and in most translations, KJV, it's not there. It's like the word Ten Commandments. You may find it in the translation, but it says the 10 words because it's one commandment. Just take that for a moment. Some say 10 commandments, but it's actually 10 words. In the Hebrew, Asaret is 10. Hadabarim is the words, the 10 words. In the Royal Amharic, the Metzaf Kedus of the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, it's Asertu Kalat. Asertu, the 10 Kalat, the 10 words. So it's the 10 words. So in weeding out, right, the fly, the flies, right, that have fallen in the oil that's causing the oil of apothecary, the anointing, the Moshiach, the anointing oil, even the true New Testament sense of stink. You know, this is why we zoom in on these areas, and people might say, we harping a lot on this, but it's because people don't get it. Because if you got it, you'll begin to see the same word differently and more truly. So which is it? Which is it? Is it that we are saved, right, through the revelation of Yeshua? We are saved by trusting in his obedience to the Torah, and this means not our own, and therefore this is to say that we are not to obey, but just to trust or, quote, as they say, have faith or, quote, believe or be like. Which is it? Are we to obey the commandments of HaTorah, or are we to operate from a different place? Let's discuss the relationship, not religion, right? Overcoming their religion, the Gentile religio. But let's discuss the relationship and the revelation between the law, Torah, and grace. Are these mutually exclusive concepts, Hebrew and Hebraic concepts, or do they overlap? There's a reference here to Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 33-34. Question, what makes the Brit Chadasha, the new covenant, the Adis Kidan, really Adis, Chadish? What makes it really Chadish or Adis? What makes it new, or more correctly from the Hebrew, renewed? That's why we point to what happened in the wilderness. The sons of Israel had entered into the covenant. Moshe went up to fulfill or to consummate this covenantal relationship. And then when he came down, the two tablets, the people had already returned to their vomit from Kemet. They already returned to their ukri with the Egel Masekah, right? And this is where we have they're breaking the covenant that he just entered into, as Jehovah said, so quickly. Right, have they broken, right, their word? Word is bond, and bond is life. So therefore, Moses broke that, and then after the Levites stepped forward, after there was a judgment of the ringleaders, right, mostly and mainly the men, right, the sons of Israel that was about that ukri, carrying that ukri from Kemet out into the wilderness, right, they were slaughtered, right, by the Levites. And this was a righteous judgment. So next question we can add is, the Bible really a pacifist book? Well, in some cases, yes. Well, turn the other cheek, you know, to our chaverim. We turn the other cheek to some disciples. But then again, remember, we only got two cheeks. Check. Moshiach said, walk a mile, right? He said, if you actually walk a mile, walk two. Okay, walk two, three, but that don't mean I can walk with you the rest of your life. We've got to put things into spiritual, iritical perspective. So which is it? So there's this thing that these Christians do, these latter-day Christians do, right? And we're not against them for being Christians, because in a Hebrew truism, we are Meshachawiyan, so we are of Christ, if Christ is the Moshiach, according to the spirit and truth of the word. But this we have to point you to. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 for a moment, because here's where they be fooling. They say, oh, the Torah is the law, and we're not under the law no more. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I know where you might refer to that, right, in your verse by verse, right? But we're going to hit you with some chapters and context, right? Let's go to Romans chapter 8 for a moment, right? I think ones and ones have heard this before, but I don't know if you heard it like this, where it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, or Christ Jesus. Hebraically, the Moshiach, Yeshua, who walk not after the flesh, not following the flesh. Remember the Israelites, they wanted debtors, and what happened to them because they wanted debtors? They want all the Mickey D's, the fast food in the desert, and he started bitching, moaning. Remember what happened? Who walks not after the flesh, but after the Ruach, but after the Spirit, right? Right. So now here, these verses here, the new law, the new Torah, right, direction, instruction of the Spirit, it delivers, right, and it makes righteous. Now, I want you to listen to what Romans, Epistle to the Romans from our brother, Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle to the Gentiles, Apostle Paulos, what he says right here in verse 2. And no, no, this is not no Pauline. Don't come with that Greco, so-called Roman stuff, you know, because you don't know the other half of the story. Shema Yisrael, verse 2, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hold on for a moment. You see, there's the law, right? The law, that word law is Torah. It says, let's read it as it really is, as even Hawaii Apollos, Rabbi Shaul, said it. Right after his eyes were open, after he get knocked down off his horse, after Yeshua draft picked him for the Nazarene clique, he said, for the Torah of the Spirit of life in the Messiah Yeshua. So wait, so there is a Torah for us in the Brit Chadasha. For the Torah, the law of the Spirit of life. You see, counterfeit Christians, Western Gentile Christians can't see this because they're going from the Greek and the Latin and everything, and they forgot that Yeshua said, y'all worship that which you know not. We know we worship for salvation of the Jews or the Yehudim, even we the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah Yeshua has made me free from the law, Torah, of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law, the Torah, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, you have to understand, was a Torah, the Torah was words, right? The words was written on stone, right? Okay, and placed in the ark, so it wasn't written on flesh, all right? So it was weak through the flesh. What does that mean, right? It was weak through the carnal-mindedness, right? The carnal-mindedness, this example of Rabbeinu Yeshua. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of what? Of the law. You hear them say, we're not under the law no more. We're not under the law. But then you go outside the church, and if you don't park on the right side, you might get a ticket. Imagine that. Tell the police officer when he pulls you over and writes you a summons and citation, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm free from the law. Yeah, they'll lock you up like a crazy person. So you got to put this into context, right? Context, that the righteousness of HaTorah, of the Torah, might be fulfilled. Fulfilled. You remember that word there, right? You know where I'm going, right? Some of you know where I'm going. Just to hear this word right here. I'd be what? Fulfilled.
My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
To fulfill, right, that the righteousness of HaTorah might be fulfilled in us who walk. Wasn't it like told to walk, like walk in his ways? They were told to walk too, right? To walk it out, to live it out, right? Who walk, who trod, who yard, not after the flesh, not after the carnal mind. That's the elders, what I and I, and I not want no carnal mind, the fleshy mind. Who walk not after the flesh, but after HaRuach. After HaRuach. See, it's interesting here because here it distinguishes. See, a lot of people get confused over Paul and what Paul writes because they're looking at it from a Gentile mind. Even some of them who say they are Jews, they actually have Gentile minds because many of them basically are Gentiles that just observe Torah. But here, there's many different Torahs being referred to. People say, Torahs? Many different? How is that? There's just one Torah. Okay, let me put it in the Hebrew context. There's HaTorah, which is the compendium, the direction instruction. But there are various Torot, directions, instructions. Like it says, well, this is the law of the leper. That's the Torah, the direction, instruction of the leper. This is the law of this, and this is the law of that. You see, this is the direction, instruction, the whole thing, right, is HaTorah as revealed to Moshe on HaSinai, the direction, instruction. Like, there's many commandments, but the commandment is the 10 words, to fulfill the 10 words, a.k.a. the Ten Commandments. Now, we had to point to that right there, because sometimes when I read some of these things that have been influenced by counterfeit Christianity, they'd be so close, but yet so far. Because it seems as though they're trying to imply that, well, we are to, you know, we're saved by trusting, admitting in his obedience. Now, that part is true to HaTorah and not our own. No, it's not by our own works in that sense, but by his righteousness. But then it seems to imply in the question, are we to obey the commandments of the Torah, or do we operate from a different place? Now, remember, this is a reasonment question, so if we are seated up and gathered together, you know, it's not like there's a so-called right or wrong answer per se, but in the reasonment and in the evidence. Let me give you some evidence right here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. This is red letter Bible. And he tells, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is Yeshua, Robeinu speaking, right? He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Uh-oh. To observe. So observing it means that we are doing something with it. We're keeping it. We're doing it. In a sense, we're fulfilling all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, why did I go here? I went here because it says all things that he has commanded us. All right. And Yeshua, in the testimony known as the gospel, he did many things that, you know, we say Judaic, Hebraic, according to HaTorah. Even the feast, the festival that he kept was according to HaTorah. I don't see no Christmas, you know, no Mickey Mouse, no Easter eggs. I don't see none of that, right? This is the thing that Yeshua was doing, and even Paul, right? Paul and the Yehudi, the apostles, they also were keeping that. And these are things that they were also showing to the Gentiles of the nations as well. Right. But of course, from a different perspective, grace was poured out on them. Right. But for us, as Paul says here, he says, I say the truth in Moshiach. I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Ruach HaKadosh, in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed. Remember this 47th. Re'eh, see, behold, the baraka, the blessing, oop, alala, and the curses. What does Paul say right here? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Moshiach, for my brethren. My who? My brethren. Who do you think he's talking about? Think he's talking about the Romans? Because you got Roman citizen? Oh, you got Rome. You got American citizens. Some of y'all, right? You got Babylonian citizenship. Does that take away from your being Israelites? Stop being silly, right? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Moshiach for my brethren. But that's not the big verse. The verse here, which says, my kinsmen. The phrase here, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Right? So he's making a distinction here. You know, these are my kinsmen who are, you know, like I say, the black and the brown, once lost, now found. Right? Then he speaks of the sevenfold privilege of Israel, right, of Israel. It's interesting because there's some chapters which we have to remind our, quote, Christian brothers, end quote, about. Right? Because it seems as though they're thinking like, well, the church has become the new Israel and it's all over for Israel and we become second-class citizen in their Christian game. No, 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 no. John's going to say, no, 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 you don't love me because you don't love Israel. Who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, the Torah, and the service, the avodah, and the promises, whose are the fathers, the patriarchs. Right? So nowadays they're going against, oh, down with the patriarch. Not our patriarch. What do you mean? White supremacy patriarch? They were never our fathers anyway. But whose are the patriarchs, the righteous Hebrew patriarch, and of whom as concerning the flesh? As concerning the what? When we say the black and the brown, once lost, not, the flesh, Moshiach, Messiah came, who is over all, Elohim, blessed forever. Not as though the word of Elohim have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, called Yisrael, who are of Yisrael. So that means even amongst us, we have enemies foreign, we got enemies domesticated, right? Verse 7, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, by blood, come on, bro, by blood, okay, yeah, because we black, okay, yeah, all right. But remember, Jah is not partial. That's why it says, for they are not called Yisrael, Yasharallah, who are of Yasharallah, who are of Yisrael, neither because they are of the seed, the sperm of Abraham. Okay, we get it, right? Of the race of Abraham, yeah. Right, but it says, because they are of the seed of Abraham, are they all children? You know, that's like calling, some of y'all do call Esau a Hebrew, but Hebrew refers to spirituality. Esau is not a Hebrew. Anyway, we'll touch on that forward, right? For they are not, because they are the seed of Abraham, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac, Yitzhak, shall thy seed be called. Mm-hmm. And then in Isaac, I remember Rivka, they had the two youths, right? Esau and Yaakov, right? And Yaakov, Yisrael, you see? All right. So right here, because here it goes on and says, that is, they who are the children of the flesh, right? That's why the elders taught I, no carnal mind. I want no carnal mind. Not in the spiritual things, especially not in spiritual things. They who are the children of the flesh, the natural children, right? These are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise of the yea, amen, amen. The word that he swore, the word he said yea to, are counted for the seed. Right, are counted for the seed. Now, here what it's saying in the scripts, it's not even saying that, well, other nations somehow become Israel, in a sense, but it's saying that not all who are of Israel are Israel. It's like we say, you may be my color, but you're not my kind. You know, you're my skin folk, but you're not my kin folk, spiritually speaking, right? So here it says, for this is the word of promise. At that time will I come and Sarah will have a son. See, there was already Ishmael. Ishmael was blessed, but that was not the son. No matter how much, you know, Mohammed didn't try to say that's what their thing says, but that's not it, right? And not only this, but when Rivka also had conceived by one, even Abino Yitzhak, our father Isaac. So when the matriarch had conceived by the patriarch, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Elohim, that the what? The purpose of Elohim, remember Romans 8 and 28, for we know, not believe, not hope for, not guess, you got to have this gnosis, experiential knowledge, a gnosis, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, to them who are called according to his purpose, you see? It's his purpose, not our purpose. We have to learn, study to show ourselves approved so we know what his purpose is. See, we went astray because we went off to our things and we left his things alone. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose, word again, that the purpose of Elohim according to the election might stand. Some people have a problem with that. Pre-election, predetermination, all that they have a problem with. Yeah. All right. We'll touch on that, but it's according to the election, right? According to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, remember who was the elder? Esau. You know, Esau does serve us as Yaakov, Yisrael, but some of you are so caught up on some of that bad teaching in some of your camps and everything, you really can't see it, right? You know, calling those things which be not as though they were, right? As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So here. Let's touch on this right here. What's the relationship between law and grace? Now, in today's daily psalm, here's where we segue to today's daily psalm's available time that we have here. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 89. As we read before, it's a meditation in Israel's national adversity and dealing with national adversaries. There's two divisions to Psalm 89 that are clearly marked in the psalm, with a break at verse 38 in the KJV, the King James Version, and the Hebrew at verse 39. The first section, right, so verses 1 to, say, 38 King James-wise, it deals with the past, the history, the past history, in that the two attributes, there are two attributes of Ha-Elohim, right, of Eloheinu, of Yahweh, of Yahweh, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, He who be, who He be, who He be, or we know who He be through His attributes, as He revealed to Moshe. There's two attributes. What are these two attributes? What are the two attributes? Mercy and faithfulness, right, were abundantly demonstrated in His relationship, not in His religion with Yisrael, Yashar Allah, but the relationship, and through the revelations and the relationship. In particular, there was the promise, right? The promise. Now, I like to bring this out in the Hebrew sense. It's like the yay, yay, and amen, amen. Let your yay, yay, your yes be yes, and your no be no, right? Because whatever is more than this is evil. What's more than yes, yes, or no, no? Yes, well, maybe no, oh, yes, and no, you know. So His yay, yay, right, and amen, amen, that He bound Himself to. So we are holding, right, and keeping covenant, Yahweh, to His word. In particular, the promise to Dawid, to David, while keeping our word, that His throne would endure forever, that His throne would endure forever. And in all truth, His throne has endured forever, even after the northern kingdom of Judah was destroyed and went into captivity, you know, with Joachim, you know, whether he was 8 years old or 18 years old, the kingdom fell then, and it was not restored. But David had a son named Solomon, and Solomon had a son named David who renewed the kingdom of David in the tops of the mountains. Hear this, Dawid, David, my shepherd, the king Messiah.
It is true.
David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Evermore. 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 Evermore.
There, even the tops of the mountains. So grace. Grace. So they call our law. Law is Torah. Right? And so we know there is the law, the Torah. Even we know this from Romans. We went to Romans in the New Covenant, right? The New Covenant sense. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life, the Torah of the spirit of Chayim, and Moshiach Yeshua. So there is a Torah, right? There is a Torah. What about grace? What's the word for grace? You know, we know the word grace in the New Testament sense, but what is the word for grace? What's that word for grace used? Let's bring this up right here, right? What's the word, what's the famous or the verse that's often referred to right here? It's the verse from, okay, John chapter 1, verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law, Torah, was given by Moshe, but grace and truth came by Yeshua HaMoshiach. Let me point this out. Did you know that Abraham also obeyed the Torah? Not the Torah as it was given in the context of Moshe, but still the very same Torah direction, instruction of Yahweh. See in the scripture, right? Because he obeyed my law, kept my law, and will teach it to his children. So the word for grace here, bring out the word for grace in the Hebrew of the New Testament. Let's get this word right here. It's the word chesed, al chesed. Here, mi lo, from mela, to full. So it says, ua mi me lo, and from his fullness, ua mi ma lo, lakachnu, we receive, lakachnu, we receive, kulanu, right, all, like all of us, chesed. So the word for grace in the Hebrew is chesed, right? The word is chesed, right? Al chesed. We receive what? Chesed. We receive grace. We receive grace, chesed, all upon chesed. We receive grace upon grace. We receive grace upon grace. And grace for grace, or Hebraically, chesed al chesed, grace on grace, right? Grace on grace, you receive grace on grace. Now, today's daily psalm, remember the two attributes of HaElohim, mercy and faithfulness. Mercy, verse 2 in the King James Bible. Let's do this right here because sometimes the numbering is different. Give me one moment to go to Psalm 89, the last psalm in book 3 of the Psalter. Here. As Yeshua said, is it not written in your law? And then what did he quote? He quoted the Psalms. Interesting, because Psalms has 5 books, right? As Moshe, right? The 5 books of HaTorah. Here in verse 2, it says, Psalm 89, verse 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to Dawid Abdi, my servant, my Abed. Thy seed, thy race will I establish forever to time indefinite, to the furthest horizon, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. This is the first 3 verses. The first verse I didn't read. I will sing of the mercies of Yahuwah forever with my mouth. Right? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Thy faithfulness to all generations, for I have said. And there we link right there. So we have grace. So when they ask the question, they say, well, let's discuss the relationship between law and grace, right? Is it law and grace? And then others come along with law and works, right? There's direction instruction. Somebody tells you, instructs you, right? And then either you do or don't do, right? Now, if you do and the instructions are true and righteous, there's a reward. So law and grace and law and works go hand in hand. See, they're trying to do this diabolon in the Greek, diabolos. That's the word term for devil. You break that word down etymologically to the Koine Greek. Dia, like a diagnosis, you know, dia, like a dialogue, like two people back and forth, a dialogue. It means like two, like separate two, the sense of two there, right? Then we have What's the word right here? I was on Dia. My mind went. Oh, diabolos, right? Diabolin. Balin means to throw through, to throw something, to balin. So diabolon, which is the root of diablos in the New Testament Greek sense, the Koine Greek sense, means to throw across something, because the devil tried to throw something across your psyche. He tried to play divide and conquer. Which one you like more? You like law or grace? Which one you do more? Law, you know, the law or your works? You know, faith or works? Like they try to make faith versus works. But the two go together. Because if you admit it's true, if you admit this is what it be like, then you do what you need to do so it be what it be like, what you admitted it be like. But here they have law and grace. So some try to make this thing seem like, oh, it's a New Testament thing that grace first time in the world came about. No, that there was already chesed, right? So it says for the law, that particular direction, instruction, that particular covenant, as it says, this covenant was made with those that day, right, and not with their fathers, not with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. You see, there was already a law, direction, instruction, before the direction, instruction. But the principles of the 10 words remain one and the same forever, forever. For the law was given by Moses, or the Torah that was given by Moses, grace, the word but is not even there. You see, they add in that but grace and truth. There's no but there. It says and grace and truth, not but grace and truth. However, no. See how they drop that one word in there? Right? And if I say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, it sounds like, oh, this. But if I read it like this, like it really is, for the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Yeshua HaMashiach to fulfill, right, what was said even in the beginning. So just to touch on that right there, to see how these two attributes of Elohim are brought out in Psalm 89 and how these two attributes work, the chesed, mercies, loving kindness is how the translator sometimes translates it as mercy in some places. Same underlying word is loving kindness over here. Same underlying word is grace over here. So people be having these arguments, you know, but actually there was a study. They find that, well, there was one word in the Hebrew, but different translators or the same translator decided to translate it different ways, I guess, to bring out the general sense. Maybe even the translator thought that people who want to know the truth will, you know, study to show themselves approved. Chesed, Elohim's acts of love wrought for Yisrael, Yasher Allah, out of his goodness, not because we were better than other people. This is something we have to get in our heart and mind. He did not choose us. He didn't once lost, now found, because we're better than other people, right? Even with Mitzrayim and Kemet, who he calls his people later on to the prophets, right? It's because of what he had chosen in us and how he chose us and how he gave his word and how he swore by his own self, how he sevented himself, how he bound himself to this purpose. This is the meaning of the word chesed, this loving kindness, this grace. So let's read it as we could read it right here. I will sing of the grace of Jehovah forever. To all generations will I make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. For I've said forever is grace built. Ki amarti olam chesed yibaneh. Yibana is built up. In the very heavens, thou dost establish thy faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. Forever will I establish thy seed and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. So, when we come to the time of Jehoiakim, in the same song, we're going to just point to a couple of highlight verses, and hopefully we can build on it. Habarim. Let's now scroll ahead, just laying down that basic point right there, and let's scroll ahead to the second part. There's like two parts. One is in obedience to Torah and to covenant, and the other part from verse 38 in the King James Version, 39 in the Hebrew, to the fulfillment to the end is when they go off. When Yasher Allah, when Yisrael, when I, when we people, we go off, covenant people. Here we have verse 38, where he's speaking about what he would do, how he would keep his covenant, how his mercy he would not break, you know, from off of him. He would not be false to this covenant he swore to David. So even when we get the events, right, of the Babylonian captivity, when we get the last king of Judah in the north, because we still had kings of Yehuda in the south, in Ethiopia, in the tops of the mountains with the Israelites of Ethiopia from the time of David the second. Solomon had a son named David, right? David had a son named Solomon. We refer here to the last king of Yehuda, Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim. He was something but 18 in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 8, or according to the later chronologer, right, after they came back from Babylon, then they wrote 2 Chronicles chapter 36, XXXVI 36 and 9, according to 2 Chronicles 36 and 9, he's said to be only 8 years old. A lot of people try to say, oh, look, Kings, it's different in Kings and in Chronicles. Well, the history is that Kings is the older version, right? And Chronicles was actually returned from the Babylonian exile. Put it into that context there, right? When he had came to the throne, either he was 8, as a later chronologer says, or in the earlier Chronicles, he was 18. Right when he came to the throne. And he is said to have reigned for only 3 months and 10 days. That is no time at all. 3 months and 10 days. The prime of his life, Jehoiakim, the last king of Yehuda, right? In the prime of his life, he spent it in exile, whether he was 8 years old or 18. Apparently in actual, in literal confinement. And he was literally, as it says in 2 Kings chapter 25, 29, he was clothed with dishonor. But even though that occurred, right, and that matches verse like 45, which says, the days of his youth hast thou shortened, thou hast covered him with shame, clothed him with dishonor. See, that's what happened to the northern, we say the northern Judahite kingdom, but there was a southern kingdom in the tops of the mountains, you see, because Yahuwah, he swore by his own self, right, to Dawi. So wherever there was righteous seed, unfortunately, there was not that righteous seed in the north, and our people in the north went into the Babylonian exile, right, the righteous for 70 years. The rest of them decided to stay in Babylon and be big about Yah, right? But then we get to verse 38, it says, but thou hast cast off and rejected. Here's where the contrast comes in. The contrast comes in. But thou hast cast off and rejected. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed, with the Mashiach, where it says, Im Mashiachka. The Mashiachka, the I Mashiach, is that Davidic throne upon the throne of King David that was anointed as Kedemawi Hala Selassie, not just coronated or crowned as him and his consort at Tegemenin, but only he was anointed and crowned, especially by that priesthood from such a time, the Levitical priesthood, the Ark of the Covenant, all of that right there. See, Jah already provided for this. That's why he said, with Ethiopia, this man was born there. That is also why, my Israelite brothers, he says, ye Ethiopians will be slain by my sword, because they were a part of his covenant. Look at what occurred 74, 75. But thou hast cast off and rejected. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed, with thy Messiah. Thou hast abhorred the covenant of thy servant. Thou, speaking of Jehovah, hast profaned his crown even to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his fences. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. They snatch and take whatever they want. He has become a taunt, a reproach, a curse, an insult to his neighbors. Thou hast exalted the right hand of his adversary, of his Satans. Thou hast made all his enemies, his haters, to rejoice. Yea, thou hast turned back the edge of his sword. Chant. The act of striking, the edge is turned away from the enemy, and it fails to wound him. And has not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his brightness to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. Thou hast shortened the days of his youth. Thou hast covered him with shame, Selah. And this now brings us to this question here. How long, O Jehovah? How long will this go on? How long will this go on? Forever? How long will your wrath, your rottenness burn like fire? Hamateka. How long will your ham? He went ham against them. He went hot against them. Komo Eish, Hamateka, like Eish, like fire. We call on him to remember how short I and I time is. For what vanity hast thou created all the children of men, called B'nai Adam, all the children of Adam? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? That shall deliver his soul, his psyche, deliver her from the power of the grave, Selah? Where are thy former mercies? Uh-oh, that word there. Aye, chesedeka. Aye, chesedeka. Aye, aye, where? Aye, chesedeka. Where is your chesed, your mercies? Ha rishonim. From the Rishonim, from the first time. Where are your mercies that you've shown us at the Rishonim, at the first time, Adonai, O Adonai, that thou didst swear, you swore to David. Did you not swear to David in your faithfulness, in your own faithfulness? It has the dual meaning, his own faith. And if God has a religion, then it's in his own religious perspective, as we have here, 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 to here, right here. Remember, Adonai, Adonai, the core Adonai.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
Powerful word right there to show the Davidic kingdom still in effect, even into this 21st century. Remember Zikor Adonai, remember Adonai, the taunt, the reproach, the insult of thy servants. How I and I do be and I and I bosom the taunt, the insult of so many people that we say, yes, I and I Israelite, they want to laugh and scorn and say this and that. Zikor Adonai, remember Adonai, wherewith thine enemies have taunted, O Yahuwah, O Jehovah, wherewith they have taunted, they have mocked and scoffed the footsteps of thine anointed. Interesting here, what was the autobiography, right, of the Davidic King Messiah, my life in Ethiopia's progress, like footsteps to trod, wherewith they have taunted, the footsteps. Now here in the Hebrew, could have gone into this, but disciples take note, it says Asher, Kherfu, Asher, that which Kherfu, they taunt, they mock Kherfu, Kherfu, Ikvot, Ikvot, Mishecheka. Ikvot mishecheka. The ikvot or the ikbot is akab, akab, ekev, ikev. We have the akab here, the ikvot, right? The ikvot is the tracks, the heels, in other words. Mishecheka of the I, Messiah. And then we come to this fulfillment right here. After all that has been said, right, we're asking for those former mercies, as in the first time. So we have a perfect example of the two ways of the Baraka and the Kalala, even from ancient history, as Yasharala, as Yisrael, as the Beta Israel, even the Beta Israel of the West, and even coming down, right, to these 400 years, and even coming forward with that man being born there in Ethiopia. So we say right here, Baruch Yahuwah le'olam, blessed be he who he be, le'olam, forever, to time indefinite. Amen, ve'amen. Footsteps. Yes, I, Rastafari. Here, brothers and sisters. Didn't go through the full. Had a couple more notes right here, but hopefully it will be received by those who can receive this word may be a strengthening for I and I to move onward and upward. Chazak, chazak. Very, very important psalm. There were other verses we didn't touch on, but meditate the two parts of the psalm. The baraka part of the psalm from the first verse to like the 37th verse, and then from like the 38th verse to the fulfillment, right, of today's daily psalm, Psalm 89. It brings out a perfect sense of this Torah reading and feeding right here. And what more can we say but give John the praise, thanks and praise, brothers and sisters, right here, here, here. Like to share this on the outro right here. What's the I of them right here? Today's daily psalm, chant a psalm, chant them down. Down, down, down. Yes, sir. Babylon,
someone
has
stolen away my good brethren called Jerry Dogged.
My brother Jerry Dogged.
From Greenstone.
They stole him away from I. Yeah.
Say me daddy don't have farm coming to me. Me daddy don't have farm like that.
Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heaven. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah.
But thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen.